and the other members of the board. I can see they are all here, or almost, I'm not sure all, or yes, they seem to be here, all of them. Who's not here, it means I don't know that one. The ones I know are here, including yourself, sir, and the CEO and your team, the brand new CFO, as it was indicated in our last engagement, that we were the brand new CFO. I don't know whether the brand new has fallen off or still a brand new, because there was no definition or contextualization of the brand new, how brand new would be brand new and so on. But you are also welcome and your executive team. We are not going to waste much time, just go to the presentation, which you are supposed to take us through. Which I think you understand that you are supposed to just to give us your annual report on how did you perform in terms of your strategic plans, which you have presented before us. We will be also interested to for you also to spend much time. Remember, they had the document, they went through it on the areas which are the area of concern, but we have interacted with the Auditor General. You got the unqualified audit, but there are certain areas which have been highlighted. I normally say to entities that are different with us from AT that as much as you can comply, because you see, when we discuss ourselves, to say what is interesting with AT is that you must disclose certain things and comply. The wrongness there after is something else, as long as you've disclosed, comply, and so on. But in our case, although we were unqualified, we got issues to raise still in terms of how whatever we have done has impacted to service delivery and the quality of those of that service thereof, not just service delivery, because it's not sufficient. I'm not sure yesterday we have that from Namibian Parliament. I'm not sure whether they are still here. If they are still here, we are still most welcome. And the entities who are here and TMG, who always with us. Over to you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chakamani, members of the PPC. A matter arising from our last quarterly report was to provide a legal report on the matters that we were busy with, and I'd like to present that to Member Dawson. Secondly, Centric is pleased to present its annual report for the period 2010-2011. With your permission, I would like to deviate from the presentation and deal with the material matters pertaining to the Centric performance rather than my sort of forward, which can be dealt with at the end if need be. Firstly, I would like to note that I was here for only 1 month and can't take the credit for everything that's happened in this year. The entire financial report can be briefly crystallized as follows. Centric is solvent to the extent of 740 million. It's liquid to the extent of 363 million, which is free cash in the bank. It is profitable in the amount of 172 million. And Centric has received an unqualified external audit report. That's on the positive side. On the negative side, operational performance declined year on year when using the yardstick of sort of cost to income ratios. In 2010, 56% had accounted for.
I don't know which senior citizens have got these things of talking to each other and taking care of each other, but you can proceed.
56% of the cost. 56% of the revenue accounted for cost in 2010. In 2011, 64% of the revenue accounted for cost. Secondly, there was not compliance with the CSMA, which matters are contained on page 112 and 113 of the annual report. Whilst noting that no sort of action has been taken, I wish to clarify that there are different sort of options under consideration. And here may I request that the PCC leave this matter to me to deal with and provide a report later on in the year when we are at again. Now, let me request Dr. Mohapit to take you through the operational aspects of the presentation. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Member, thank you very much. With respect to the presentation that has been prepared, I'd like to continue on page 15 of the presentation. As the Chairperson has mentioned, the financial year that we're reporting here under was a particularly difficult one. For everybody, and I think some of the board members here in October, which was in the middle of the financial year. The executive management and staff worked under the guidance of the board, worked with the board as it was presented in October last year, with the primary purpose of one, restoring incentive financial stability. But more importantly, in drafting the corporate plan moving forward, was to restore Centec to take a leadership position in the information and technology, information and communication sector, with a particular focus on broadcasting and communications. We did develop the corporate plan within the financial year and presented it to yourselves on the 25th of March. Under the year under review, there was a corporate plan that was developed by the previous board that we believe was never made available to the committee. But that went through the Department of Communications. The Department of Communications had required that the corporate plan be changed so that at least it, among other things, that it would have to be, it was a loss-making plan from a financial point of view. And the new board that joined, in particular, was requested by the department and the ministry to revise that corporate plan, in particular the financials in the corporate plan, and make sure that the financials are positive. So, in a sense, we worked during the financial year under an approved corporate plan with respect to operational targets. And there were finances in there. But also, within operations, we particularly looked at the target that had been set in the business plan, those targets being targeted to restore the company operationally and financially to stability. We acknowledge that there's still a lot of work to be done. The turnaround program has started, but it's continuing. The company has closed the year with a healthy cash position of 363 million. Much in mind that in the previous financial year, the annual report recognized that the company had a net cash position of around 53 million or so. And this is unencumbered cash, meaning that it's cash that we are going to use within operations to expand the scope of our intervention, particularly in the broadcasting space. In the previous financial year, there was an emphasis of matter relating to doubts about Centec's ability to continue as a going concern. In the this annual report, that emphasis of matter has gone. Centec has been declared, the auditors are convinced that Centec is a going concern, not only with the cash position that it has, but more importantly, with the ability to generate cash. For operations. There were a number of operations that were loss-making, telecommunications operations. In the previous financial year before the one under review right now, specifically the product, the telecommunications product for MyWireless, which was a retail wireless broadband product, retail being the key word there, had been discontinued. Similarly, the business product, which was a retail business, a retail product for the business community, was also discontinued. In this financial year, we the carrier-to-carrier business, which was the remaining problem business, was finally stopped. Because of the peculiarities of the carrier-to-carrier business, the collection rate, in fact, that was sitting at 70%. The carrier-to-carrier business had a lot to do with that, just because of the peculiarities of it. The collection rate in the annual review moved from 70% to 95%, I think as we've discussed before. One of the also items that was looked at in quite a lot of detail was the age of data. We age data in terms of current 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days. And the data days have decreased significantly. The performance of the product, particularly the signal distribution product, which was the continuing product, improved. Quite significantly based, compared to the previous financial year. I must say that in the financial year 2009-2010, there was a big charge into the income statement related to the discontinued operations. Total revenue decreased from 846 million to 836 million. And that's really because of the discontinued products. I must say that even though the revenue increased, the products that were contributing to the difference were actually contributing a loss in the bottom line. The network performance exceeded the target. Network performance, we measure it in terms of the availability of signal from a point of view of a home viewer for television and a home listener for radio. Our assets, our key assets are the network infrastructure that we have and also the people. We do have the communications workers union at some point as a recognized union within the organization. Talking on behalf in particular of the bargaining unit with respect to salary increases. The salary increases were on average 12.7%. There was a 12.7% on basic salary in terms of increase for the members of the bargaining unit during the annual review. The supply chain management function it has always been a problem unit. But it was recognized in particular by the board during the year that it was a problem unit and it was quarantined under a special management committee with a view of capacitating it. The last issue also related to the level of the formal BE rating. During the year under review, we spent a lot of time trying to get a formal accreditation with respect to BE contribution status. And while that is not done yet, we continue to. We almost completed that process. Moving forward, during the year, we developed a corporate plan for the next year MTF period, particularly looking at aligning ourselves with government programs, and specifically under the guidance of the Department of Communications. From a service point of view, the focus moving forward is innovation. Innovation around broadcasting, around media services, around broadband, around content management services in general, with particular, with the foundation being open access, meaning that whatever we do, our mandate is really to enable people to be able to get into this environment. Our interventions are no longer product focused. We are solutions focused, as we specified in the in our corporate plan. The turnaround program is not complete. The issue of risk management, institutionalized risk management within the organization is part of the program moving forward. As the audit report notes, as the report from the external auditors note and also travel to the auditor general, There was a break in institutionalized risk management within the organization, but that has since been fixed. We continue paying a lot of attention to staff issues. Last year, in the financial year under review, there was quite a bit of instability within the staff, and that's a focus for us moving forward. We presented as part of our quarterly report the board, the way it has restructured itself in support of operations, focusing in particular on the key pillars of the operations. Making sure that the supply chain works very well. We do things not only fast, but we also do them right. Making sure that our technology strategy is fully in line with our mandate. Making sure that the audit committee is fully functional and well-capacitated, and also that we have a better risk management. With regard to specific KPIs, as said, these KPIs come from the corporate plan itself, and not necessarily the business plan that was developed. On analog television, terrestrial television, I'll just go through and highlight the key metrics. The availability, the service level agreement that we have with our customers, the broadcasters, is primarily based on availability of the signal. The target was 99.7% availability, and that was exceeded. Availability was 99.9% across the board. It's an average of all the transmitter sites. And the revenue the revenue was 373, the target was 373 million or so, and that was exceeded to 375 million. We one of the targets was the implementation of the low power transmitter sites. These are sites that are not currently covered by the current network, the high power transmitter network, most of the time because of terrain issues. Sentec and SABC had agreed in the financial year before this one to implement specific low cost, low power systems to cover people in those areas. The target was 9 sites, and the actual performance was 16 sites installed and operational. With respect to DTT, the SLA is really with respect to the test that was ongoing, because the performance period has not really started. But I think the more important thing I'll mention there was the number of sites rolled out. The number of sites that were rolled out under the DVB-T standard was, the target was 40. The number of sites actually was 39. Because of the change that was made in the 14th of January, the change in standards to DVB-T2, we decided not to continue with anything DVB-T specific, but rather deploy our resources once when we go and upgrade the transmitter at the site, and then do the rest of the work there. So the number there is 16. That is confirmed through the audit. But it's really in the context of the change in the standards. Those sites, the target is that they will provide 60% of the population, coverage to 60% of the population. With respect to FM radio, availability target was 99.8, and the performance was 99.9. We, in particular, there was a target to increase the scope of work through supporting new community broadcasters, supporting a lot of broadcasters that do get licenses for ad hoc broadcasting. For example, whenever there's some broadcasters, for example, support certain religious festivals that happen at certain times of the calendar year, and they normally typically get licenses for ad hoc broadcasts from the regulator. And the target was quite modest, and that was exceeded quite significantly. Medium wave, the target for availability was 99.5. It is fairly old technology, and that's how the target was slightly less. But the performance was slightly higher at 99.6. Similarly to short wave, 99.5 target and then 99.6. coverage. This, the main facility for providing those services is at Meyerton. The fairly old facility. We do operate a satellite-based broadcast platform. The network performance, the target was 99.8, and the achievement was 99.9% availability. The revenue was also exceeded. There was a target to add new. The service is typically used by people who want to broadcast, almost not broadcast per se, but who want to distribute content between closed user groups. And for example, there are people who want to distribute religious channels to closed user groups and so on. We could not meet the target because of the matter with that we reported in March around availability of decoders. That matter is related to the UEC matter that is currently in court. The same service, satellite-based service, is used by our businesses for their closed user group requirements. For example, Mr. Price. Whenever we go to Mr. Price, for example, you have Mr. Price Radio. And that can be used from a public service money point of view by institutions, for example, by of learning, education institutions, and clinics or institutions in the healthcare center. That was also from a revenue performance point of view, reflecting the scope of intervention. That did not increase as much because of the availability of the decoders, as previously mentioned. We also, because of the number of sites that we have to support the terrestrial broadcasting, we make those sites available to other entities in the communication sector, mobile operators in particular, under facilities listing arrangements. And the facilities don't have revenue reflecting again the extent to which we are working with the other operators in the industry, did exceed the target that had been set. Moving on, there was a target around National Wireless Broadband to develop a business plan. That business plan was developed within the financial year, submitted as part of the corporate plan. So we tick that target as having been done. Moving along, VSET. This VSET provides point-to-point links using satellite. The target was 99.8. We did not achieve the target for availability. The availability figure was 99.6. I must say that I found that the issue of performance of the VSET product, because we are using this VSET product particularly in support of schools and clinics, the issue of the performance of the VSET project is an issue that has been raised at board level, and we are in the middle of a turnaround program on that product. The revenue was below the target specifically, and overall the product made a loss. The data days decreased from average of 30 days to 16 days. The employee equity targets were not met. The issue there is gender in particular. Gender equality within the financial year, and that is certainly part of our program right now to fix that problem. Skills development targets were not met. That was primarily because during the year there was a lot of focus on arresting the cost so that we can start afresh with a stable entity, and as a result of that, some of the programs, learnership programs and school development programs, were put on hold. But that has since been, those programs have since been revived and moved forward. The targets for ourselves as a BE contributor was level 4. That's a long process that started a couple of years before. And it was not completed within the year. That means application was not completed within the financial year. But that's something that we're working hard. hard on getting it right. Just moving into the finances, I must also state that the finances in context are not finances that are from just a few business point of view. They're financials in the context of us as a public entity that is required to be financially stable in order to sustain our public service mandate. From a revenue point of view, in the annual report, the details of the income statement are on page 96-97 in the main annual report. The revenue increased slightly. The costs from our operating activities increased slightly. But actually, they dropped. What happened in the financial year 2010 was that there was a big charge of about 197 million on from losses from discontinued operations. I then will go down to the bottom line where the net profit increased from 94 million to 203 million. That immediately had a reflection on the cash flow. I must say that the cash from operating activities again in the previous financial year was high. This is on page 101 of the annual report, but they were charged again made to fix that had already been made in the financial year 2009-2010 as the some of the products were shut down. In this financial year being reported, cash from operating activities was 232, and there was a big outflow from the cash that we got from investing activities there. The cash flow, the net increase in cash was 158 million, and the total cash and cash equivalents at the end of the year was 101.1 billion. I must say that the movement in cash there is not because of the increased grant money. It's actually because of better retention of cash from operating activities. And it is it's because of this that, in particular, the going concern issue has since been removed. Moving on in page 30, the balance sheet. The important line there, I think, is the current assets against equity. The movement there between on current assets. In the annual report, the detail of the balance sheet is on page 61. The movement on the current assets there is really because of the positive movement in unrestricted cash. This cash that we then are going to plow back into the organization. And that is also related to the improvement in the equity line. Very quickly on page 31, the details of the operating performance of each of the products. Must say that the losses, revenue from discontinued operations is reflected there. It can be noted how much the revenue from carriers was, and that was a completely loss-making operation. In particular, compared to the previous financial year, we can see that in this financial year, My Wireless had already been shut down, so there is no line for it. There was one or two customers, business customers, that were still sitting on business during the financial year. And that's why there is a line under it. But the other related services, telecommunication-related services, were shut down. And the carriers was certainly the last one to be shut down. It's not being reflected in our current financial statement. Looking at the cost in more detail on page 32, there was an increase in staff costs from 225 to 230. This was based on two things, with opposite effect. The first one was the increase in basic salary through wage increases, but the second one was also a decrease in the staff number, reflecting an increase in overall increase in participants from 225 million to 230 million. The most significant line there is the expenses related to discontinued operations. That's 197 in the 2009-2010 financial year versus 41 million in the 2010-2011 financial year. The auditor, I mean, our we are audited by KPMG as approved by the with the consent of the Auditor General. There was the identification of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. Must start with the all of them except for the issues around turnaround committee, which I'll explain just now. First of all, let's start with Intelsat. Intelsat provides the satellite services that allow us to distribute signals, broadcast signals from our main center in Honeydew to all the transmission sites. It is an integral part of our service delivery. The contract was the contract with Intelsat was up to for was coming to an end. Actually, came to an end in around September, specific September of 2010. Typically, such contracts one has to start planning for new contracts well in advance. Most of the time, 3 years in advance. Because of the instability in general within the organization, the laxity on the side of management, I must say, in the previous leadership, these contracts were not the process to renew the contract or go out and get a new contract for provider of satellite services was not started until, as evidence shows, until May of 2010. And that in that respect, you don't have time. You risk the entire broadcasting services of the country if you ever try to change the satellite provider within such a short space of time. As a result, the size of the contract with Intelsat, as proposed in May, is a 5-year contract requiring the Minister of Communications to approve. But the approval was not, there was no approval from the minister at the time when the contract lapsed. But the board in around February took the view that the contract with Intelsat should be extended, which was duly done. But because the minister has not yet approved, we are listing this as an irregular expenditure. But coming out of a clear understanding, I mean, clear view of the operational implications of not having done this in this way. The board has applied for condemnation to the minister in that regard. With respect to low power project, we directed internal audit in December. We directed internal audit to specifically to capital projects, and they did find problems there. We then directed a forensic investigation into that area and uncovered more problems. We have since disciplined people involved. They have been released from the company. We have filed with the South African Police Service a case for a criminal case that is being followed with the Douglasdale Police Station. And we've also instituted civil action against the people involved. The rest of the items there are really they are here because contracts were gotten into or commitments were made with service providers for various things without contracts being signed. And some of these were highlighted to the committee in October of last year. With respect to the turnaround committee, the board tasked in early part of the 2010-2011 financial year, tasked some of the members of the board, non-executive directors, with specific tasks. And I think that was also something that was communicated and raised in this committee last year in October. A budget of $3 million was given to the turnaround committee. That budget did not specify any specific allocation, and that budget was exceeded to about just over $8 million. The work was done the documentation is there about the work that was done at the Canal Committee. So the reason why these items are here is because of the budget was exceeded from 3 million to 8 million. That's the reason why all of these items are here. And all of them are there because the 3 million was not specifically allocated to specific activities. I think the chairperson has already mentioned that moving forward, some of these matters will be dealt with at the board moving forward. But they are really a reflection of the state of affairs of the company during the financial year. The auditors, with respect to fruitless, with respect to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, these were the most of the, it was 4.6 million. Most of it was due in relation to lapses in the payment of taxes. In a sense, the money has gone back to the fiscus, but from as an operating entity, it's a lapse that we could not stand. We did institute disciplinary action against the executives involved even around January, because this was a repeat of something that had happened in the previous financial year. The particular executive in charge of this function was released, and there were other issues that are listed here as fruitless and wasteful expenditure coming up out of a decision to settle some labor issues instead of getting them into the future. And allow so that we can allow ourselves to focus on the future. But the of that 4.6 million, I mean, the bulk of it is really has gone back to the fiscus, particularly. There's an element of expenditure on the FIFA World Cup. The auditors have put it at the end. They made a note that this was not audited, but we thought maybe just for conclusion we'll put up the spend. We believe that the spend in particular, because it was not audited, the spend on the accounting authority spend actually could be more than that. But I think there is this the state of affairs about what the expenditure on the World Cup was. And that brings us to the conclusion of the main presentation. We also, based on yesterday's deliberations with the department, we have taken the audit report, or particularly the report from the external auditors, in the annual report. That page, the audit report starts, or the findings from the audit starts on page 49. Our audit was an unqualified audit with findings. So we've looked at all the findings in there and are presenting now the action plan for findings. There is a document that has been distributed, I think everybody has guessed. Coming back again, the opinion is an unqualified opinion with findings. Moving on to page 3 of that, with respect to predetermined objectives, the page 49 of the audit report recognizes that there were no material findings on the performance against predetermined objectives. The way issues raised around the strategic planning and performance management, particularly with respect to the various committees of the board, specifically the risk committee and the audit committee, the finding is that the risk committee was not operational, it did not meet enough time. The action that have been taken as presented in the first quarter report is that the risk committee is now functional. In terms of reference, supposed to meet 4 times a year, particularly to review quarterly events. It has already met once, and it's scheduled to meet again within the next week. And it will meet its own terms of reference. The other finding was that coming out of the PFMA in particular, that the company has to have a risk function in the form, or in particular, a risk function. The risk position of the risk officer was approved during the financial year, but was not filled. In terms of the actions that the position has been advertised, we have received about more than 60 applications. Those applications are currently being reviewed in the interim. The risk committee has decided that there should be an interim, the risk function must be fulfilled. And as a result, we do have somebody working with us on a contract basis fulfilling that risk function. The another finding was on the fact that there were no policies and procedures around the performance information of the company. In fact, the finding was based on the fact that it was not a board approved. The document, whatever document was there, was not board approved. There was a document that was developed. This document is going to go into the audit committee, which is sitting on the 26th of October, and thereafter going to the board. I must say that all our quarterly reports currently are being produced in alignment with the stock policy. And as soon as it gets approval from the board, we'll make sure that our quarterly reports are fully in line. The finding, a key finding was made around the internal audit, specifically that the internal audit plan that was used during the financial year did not align with the risk profile of the organization. That is acknowledged, and in terms of the action steps, the first meeting of the audit committee, which was around July the 27th, this issue was addressed there. The internal audit plan was submitted to the audit committee in July of this financial year, of this calendar year, and it was sent back on the back of this finding, and has been reviewed and revised to align itself with the risk profile of the company. And it's going back into the audit committee on the 26th of October and thereafter to formally approve. Also, in order to institutionalize the link between audit and risk, the internal audit sits on the risk committee of the sits within the audit committee, and also sits within the audit committee. In order to make sure that whatever audit committee submits to the risk committee submits to the audit committee has input of the internal audit, and vice versa, whatever the internal audit submits to the audit committee also has input from the risk. That will make sure that that whole system of linking risk and audit is institutionalized. There was a finding about the effectiveness of the audit committee with respect to two items. One is its capacity. The finding specifically was that there were not enough members on the audit committee with the financial background required to do the work of the audit committee. So the second one was that the audit committee did not sit as often as it's supposed to sit in terms of reference. It sat only once, and it was supposed to sit four times. And as a result of that, the finding was that if the audit committee was not functional from a capacity point of view, and also was not sitting, did not sit enough, it could not have been effective. So the issue to fix there is the issue of capacity, which has been fixed. The majority of the members of the audit committee, as we speak right now, have the requisite skills to be able to perform audit functions. And also in terms of sitting, it is already set, and it's also for you to sit to make its second meeting to review second quarter issues on the 26th of October. Moving on page 6, the finding is that in the first quarter, there were instances of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. Those are the issues that are listed in the annual report. And as you can see, most of them are really legacy issues. Intelsat, which is 32 million or so out of the 65 million of the regular expenditure. That's simply because, I mean, there was no planning, and the actual commitment was made operationally by an executive in May, on the 4th of May of 2010. And a lot of the findings on some of the programs where there were no contracts and yet commitment has been made, those findings were the actual commitment were made in the previous year, but the findings were made in the first quarter. And the comment there, the finding was that there was no proper system of not only identifying the instances of such as that, but also preventing them. This is really an issue of capacity within the finance division. The company most of the time, mostly was in a situation that it was, because of the low level of skills, I must say, and attention to the issues within the finance division. The CFO has resigned, and the two GMs that fell immediately under the CFO are no longer there. One was released, another one was, has resigned. We do have a new CFO who's busy capacitating his division and putting in place the procedures to identify and also prevent cases such as this. The most important thing also is that the board has resolved that it not only wants quarterly reports, there will be management reports every month that go to the board as of the second half of the year. And as per our corporate plan, one of the things that we report on a monthly basis is instances of unauthorized expenditure, instances of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and also irregular expenditure. Another finding around HR was that the senior positions had not been filled to allow the company or enable the company to operate effectively. And that was with respect to the CFO, who has since been approved, the COO. The CEO, and then also the risk manager, which I talked about earlier. The CEO, the board has interviewed, and a recommendation has been passed to the minister in terms of the articles of the company. The minister makes the appointment of the COO and the CFO and the CEO. And the risk officer, I've already touched on that. The second issue was the, another issue that came up in the findings was the material misstatement that were identified during the audit process, which were fixed during the audit process. The concern was that there was a clear indication that there was probably capacity issues in finance. And again, as I mentioned, that with the appointment of the CFO, he is building a completely new team. There is a completely new leadership team that will be taking us forward. The no effective oversight responsibility on performance against predetermined targets around internal controls. Again, this is an issue really of oversight, overall oversight, and that has been solved by the board committees that are now functional, fully capacitated, that are meeting regularly, and that have clear terms of reference. As also the other issue that I'm finding was the capacity of the HR division of the company to take us forward. And when we came here on the 25th of March, that issue was raised again by the committee. The incumbent HR executive resigned from the company in April, and there's a new executive HR joining us as of the 15th of November, coming in with a lot of experience from both government and the private sector. There's also, the board also adopted a view that there must be a more, an even bigger effort from a turnaround point of view on the HR, of various HR aspects of the company, including the way we manage our resources coming in. We need to go and identify talent. We need to get people in. We need to develop them. We need to have a succession plan. And we need to make sure that when people leave us, we are able to maintain a professional relationship and we don't lose skills as people leave us. And that is through an HR intervention. We are getting professional resources from outside to assist us with this turnaround program around our people. Finally, a finding was made around the fact that there was no central point for monitoring compliance across the board. The only compliance that we really do in monitoring of compliance was on regulatory compliance during the financial year. In terms of the structure. In the corporate plan that we presented in March, we mentioned that this compliance is going to be broadened, not only to be just regulatory, but to be compliant across the board, and centralized within our corporate services division. And the position of corporate services was advertised internally because we thought there was somebody who could fit the bill. That person has resigned, resigned in July. And as a result, we have gone out to the market to look for an external person. And finally, there was a statement around the forensic investigation that happened within the procurement division, particularly with a focus on the capital projects, the low power projects specifically. The forensic investigations were started in the calendar year. As I mentioned earlier, we identified issues, we disciplined people, we released them, and we are pursuing, we're pursuing recovery of the money that was wasted there. And that is our responses again to the findings that were made by the auditors and that were submitted to the AG and summarized on this week by the AG to the committee.
Thanks, the chairperson, CEO. Are you all done to the session? Can we go to questions? Honorable Van der Berg, Sebe, Killen, Drochen, in that order.
Thank you, chairperson. I just want to focus on this whole VTC thing. I think that all the entities are playing a very important role in out-rolling of the VTT. And I just want in a sentence or two from Centec, all the transmitters, will they be ready for DVB-T2 when the switch off of analog will take place at the end of 2013? So, and as you see it now, are you on track? Have you got all the equipment and all the little batteries or whatever you need for the transmitters? And then also, as we all know, that the transmitter network is actually aging. While you are working on this transmitter to transform it to the new broadcasting standard, are you also giving attention to that upgrading, as I can call it, of the old transmitters? Because some of them, as you said, CEO, it's very difficult to reach them. It's an high ground and you need helicopters or whatever. So doing it in the same time while you have the problems to be there. Now, that's the story of the readiness for DTT. And I think also what is important, as we picked up uncertainty amongst the public, do you think you can play a specific role in the industry to, if someone go to Mr. Whatever and want to buy television, do they know what to buy and what will be ready for the whole DTT outro program, and which antennas they kind of need, because there's a lot of uncertainty. And then while we're talking about DTT, the future of digital radio, what will happen, for instance, with shortwave and medium wave? Are you also working on that? I also want to just congratulate you in this report on the Auditor General. You know, the finding and then also action steps to take. I think this is very comforting to see that you actually looked at the Auditor General's findings and you are busy working on that. Contrary to the fact of what we see yesterday with the DOC. So congratulations on that. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you. Honourable, I will follow up, but there is one question which has been raised by Honourable Van der Berg, which I want you to help me to respond once. Honourable Sebe yesterday categorically asked the OC a question. If you say 60% population coverage, what does that mean? They could not respond. The OC could not respond. They don't know. I want to draw a distinction between 60% population coverage and 60% coverage. To me, it will mean two different things. A population, you mean a population coverage. But there seems to be a geographical coverage also. What are we talking about exactly? I don't want us to continue this thing of coverage, holding that 60% geographical, only to find that the population of Gauteng, how many percent of the country? You see, and then we only find that the 40 or 50% is in Gauteng of the current coverage we're talking about. The other ones are somewhere there. If you can just help CEO, the two geographical and population, so that I'm sure ourselves as a committee, we need to start to say which one we prefer to talk about, or which is best for people. Because sometimes this terminology, they can confuse and think that things are happening while there's nothing is happening. Honourable Sir?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Let me also join Honourable
Before you continue, I made a mistake and I forgot that in our midst we've got our Honourable Langalake Mkhize, a former committee member of this committee, who's currently in the provincial legislature in KZN and chairing both in culture or arts and culture, chairing the committee of both the recreation and da-da-da in KZN, where they are owing SABC 200 million for licensing. Thanks very much. You're most welcome, Honorable Kabazela. You're welcome, Honorable Sebe.
I wonder why you just remember him now when I'm speaking. No, welcome, Kabazela. Mr. Chairperson, I was just saying, let me also join Honorable Sanebra in congratulating Eastern Tech for the good work that they have done, their research, and they have also made our work more easier because we have facts in front of us. Thanks to them for that. It really shows that there's a leadership there that they are guiding the company. But, Chair, in regard to the same audit funding, I just want you to check CEO for at what stage were you aware of this audit funding? Did you voluntarily declare to the auditors, or were you only made aware after they've audited the report? And on page I think page 5 you have covered. On page 3 of the same AG thing, your auditor's report, because we are audited by the external auditors. On the strategic planning and performance management, you are saying in the interim, the risk committee has agreed on the appointment of a contractor who commenced on 1 October, blah, 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 blah. My interest there is how much are you paying that contractor? And the 60% coverage, I think my chairperson has represented me well in regard to that. I also want to check, Chair, in regard to the capacity issues in totality. You have mentioned the finance and the human resources, but the capacity issues in totality in the company. Because during our oversight visit in KZN, your staff members there raised many issues. Among that issue that was key was the issue of capacity. They've raised that issue sharply with the chairperson that they are not capacitated. They are not taken for training in regard to the personal development plan. So I just want to check what are you doing in regard to that. The other issue is in regard to your rollout plan. Who decides where you go, SNTEC? I'm not asking you this question for the first time. I'm repeating it because I didn't get the answer the last time when I asked it. Who decides on who you go? Is it the DOC or SABC? Whoever it might be, is informed by what? And on page 8 of your annual report, that was submitted before the committee in regard to the, I think it's the chairperson's report. The chairperson is saying, I would favor the creation and the structure be impaired to a chairperson's office. I just want clarity of that statement. Is it a personal view? Or I just need a clarity. Maybe I'll make a follow-up in that regard after I've received that clarity. And on page 52 of the same annual report, you might have covered this item because it's arrived under other matters. You might have covered it in this short report in regard to audit findings, but I didn't hear it. I just want clarity or further information where the statement says we have not audited this information and accordingly we do not express an opinion. Where the auditors were not able to express their opinion, maybe if we can be given further information in regard to that or clarity. And on page 59, there's a table there, but as a laywoman as I am, I might not understand it. When you say, it says designation, appointment, resignation date. You see, on the part of the appointment and the resignation date, there's a list and stroke, and is a resigned, November, blah, blah, whatever, whatever, whatever. But I think what will assist me is that if you say, when you say, for example, on resign 9 November 10, resign 30. If we can say this person has resigned, but in this particular person you have managed to fill in that position, it is not filled. Why? Because when you were reporting on the issue of persons, you are summarizing. If we can take them as they are presented there. And on page 112, I know person, chairperson, you have said you did not worry much on page 12, 112. But just allow me to ask this, because from my understanding, one turnaround committee in Tumba Consulting, no action, and the other no action, no action, if we can be clarified, because at least here we have a table that shows that. So if you respond on something that we see, not in terms of summary reform. And the last there, there is a solution to approve 3 million due to ongoing investigation. A more comprehensive report will be made within the next reporting period. Maybe if we can just be clarified there or taken further. Because if you are saying in the next reporting period, I don't understand. To me, it's not a time frame. You must be specific in regard to that. Last teacher person is on this presentation. I think it's on page 21. You know, that one is covered by the chairperson. It's on page, the other one is on page 25. Human resources. You are saying not achieved less than 8% of the target due to cost cutting measures. Here I'm interested to know what influenced you that when you are cutting costs, I know it must be for a good cause, but I'm interested why, what influenced you to basically focus on the human resource when you were cutting your costs? Why? Maybe a kind of a motivation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Keelan, Drogen, Follow, and Morisua.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, the majority of my questions have been covered by previous members. I want to make one comment and then ask an additional question that was not yet asked. First of all, I think we need to give credit where credit is due. I do believe that we need to congratulate the leadership for having taken very specific action to implement the turnaround strategy. Very often one takes note of an intention or of a pronouncement on a turnaround strategy, but ultimately it lies in the implementation. It's not only good enough to adopt a turnaround plan. That's the first point. The second point is I also want to make comment about the fact that at least as far as issues listed on page 112 and 115 of your report, of which Honourable Sebe has now asked additional questions, that was also on my list, that some specific action was taken. I want to know what is the policy of your organization, of CENTEC, with regard to such action. Sometimes one finds in the public sector that when a matter is reported to the police, people believe that is, we've done our bit, that is what we can do. I'm happy to hear that you're also taking civil action, and I want to make sure that you proceed with that, and that it must become visible that there will be absolutely zero tolerance for any corruption. So if you respond to Honourable Sebe's question of why in specific cases you have not implemented any action, what was the reason for that, so that we don't have a situation that only in some cases, very often that leads one to believe that it's not about the activity or the illegal activity, it is more about the individual, and that is what one would not like to see in the public sector. It must be irrespective of who the person is or political linkages or whatever. It must not be tolerated. So that is, if you can explain why certain actions were not taken. And then thirdly, I want to ask, I understand that you have said that you have opted for savings as far as salary package, the total amount spent on salary is concerned for employees, but you have also decided to give them quite a large percentage increase. Was it done on the basis of any performance evaluation? Because according to the chairperson's comment in the report, you would have implemented a performance management system in the first quarter of the new financial year. Have you done that? And was that considered as part of upping the performance of the organization? If not, why not? What is the delay if it's not been implemented? And then lastly, is that also part of your turnaround plan to ensure that you retain specific skills in the organization in order to compete with the rest of the industry? So can we just explain, do you have fewer people with better structured salaries, with better opportunities moving forward? Is that your new business model? And why the high percentage? And was it scaled down so that we don't see a ballooning of executive management with additional packages, etc. And in just one additional point that I wanted to ask about that is your control over sick leave and overtime and all of that. Do you have all of those measures in place as part of your risk management? Thank you.
Thank you, Trofen.
Thank you, Chair. Annual report, page 35. Staff in the Northern Cape. It's a massive province, but I see you only got 60. Staff in Gauteng. Small province, but you've got a big component of staff, 361. Just your question, why? In a big province in the Northern Cape, you have so few staff, and in the province of Gauteng, for example, it is a big big number of staff. You also reported the last time in the Northern Cape, there's not a big coverage of signal distribution. So, I'm just wondering if that may be the contributing factor. Okay. That's the only question I have. So if there's more coverage in the province.
I didn't do it.
Continue, Prophet.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah. And then in your slide presentation on page 23, I just want clarity there, please. Are you saying the under the one column key performance areas direct to home satellite? There's, and the performance of cost, there's an amount of 306 that's not 306,000 rand that's not achieved there. Is that a big loss? So just explain that column to me, because I'm not too clear on that column there. Not achieved made a loss of over 1 million rand. Then the next slide of 40,000 as well. Your profit growth that you are forecasting there is 40,000. So it's not achieved. So there's again made a loss of over 1 million rand. And you did say that those things, there's not availability of the courtesy. So I just want to know, why is there such a massive loss? When you forecast such a little money, but then there's a big loss of such a lot of money. Is it just related to COVID? Just give me some reasons behind that, please. And then at the beginning of your report, if I look on page 16, under, it's linked to carriers. The debt collection there, it's 36 percent from a, just the interpreter just needs to read it here, please. Okay. Improvement in the billing process has improved the debt collection rate by 36 percent from a worrying 70 percent. Just want to know right now, what have you put in place? Is that continued or is it discontinued service? What have you done to improve that collection rate? Okay, so yeah, what are you doing to put that in place? Yeah, that's all, Chairperson. Yeah, thank you.
Honorable Doctor.
Thank you, Chairperson. I should join the other, my colleagues in giving due reality. You know, we have had so many reports from Centec. In some instances, we had to, in the precinct of Parliament, to go and look at demonstrations, and by now we thought Centec would be very far, but there is great improvement. I will just say, I'm interested in the digital infrastructure. Yeah, because according to the estimate of national expenditure in 2010, Centec was going to establish 10 new radio transmitters and 10 television transmitters. And according to 2013 corporate plan under the DTC program, with 9 low power transmitters as its target, for the 2010-2011 financial year. And furthermore, the 2011 annual report of Centec mentioned 16 low power transmitters that were expanded throughout the country. Now, my questions are, what corrective measures have been taken to address target shortfall? And also,
out of the target of 40, how many sites were rolled out by Sentech? I didn't get a good explanation out of the presentation, although I really think they have made a very good new presentation this time. And I would ask Sentech to really keep it up, because as Parliament, we really rely on Sentech.
Thank you. Before further you come in, National Wireless Broadband Network, your report today is as silent, I would say. We want to know how far have you already rolled out. Is that report you gave back? That would say anything. You should be rolling out in the field. No, not that is there. I just don't understand it. Yesterday, if you were there, we were asking DOC the same question. And the indication by DOC was saying Treasury. You see, the problem that the DOC, whatever plan supposed to submit to Treasury, a long story, but you should be knowing it in short was the story there. But I'm saying that one come up with another report shall not help. It does not even go near on what should present before the committee today. So that's the one piece I want to add. Just tell us what is happening there. That report does not help in terms of our engagement with DOC yesterday. And what you said you'll do as a public mandate to roll out broadband wireless network, not to be formulating strategies. People, they don't connect on strategies. They connect on points. Where the power the service is provided and so on. Yes, yes. Honorable Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think from today, I know that it's not well for me to speak after you, because you always know what I wanted to say. That's because exactly where I wanted to go. But about I think so. But ever since a person in regard to the oversight that you went in KZN, that was also a burning issue, was the issue of the engagement between the management of Sentech and its staff, in particular at the level of the provinces. That there's a communication breakdown in a way. And I think we also raised this, you were with you the last time you were with the committee. I just want to check how far have you managed to close that gap. In addition to that was the issue of the strategic plan implementation, that those staff members are responsible to implement the same strategic plan. But they said to us they are not informed. They were not informed about it. They never participated. Nobody bothered to take them through. So our worry was that how are they going to assist you as the CEO and the board to implement all the issues or all the targets that you should project for yourself. Lastly, Chairperson, is the Mpumalanga School project. I just want to check how far are you in regard to that project and how many schools have benefited out of that in the province of Mpumalanga. Thank you, Chair.
I'm told Chairperson we have to rush for a flight, so maybe if there are issues, if you can start and respond.
Thank you.
Otherwise, we'll conclude on your behalf for the notice.
Firstly, can I address the particular issue raised in relation to the Chairperson's statement, and this was the creation of the Chairperson's office that exhibits qualities of a non-executive flavor. This is a personal view, but it's in relation to the New Service for Companies Act, where directors are made individually liable and collectively responsible. I think we just need a bit more capacity to protect ourselves and the business for that matter. So we don't wait until we get an audit report, but we could preempt certain action in terms of determining the control environment related to exit. That's all I wanted to say in relation to that. In relation to page 112, I just want to make a statement in relation to the irregular expenditure, I don't think this must be misinterpreted. Services have been received for all the individuals or companies cited here. It was just a question of due process must be followed. It is not that we did not receive value for money. Then I leave you with that statement. As far as the steps taken to inform the region...
If I hear you, you are saying on all those matters.
Yes.
It's not a matter of corruption, it's a matter of due process.
That's right, yes. With the exception of the low-power project.
With the exception of the low-power project.
That's right.
All the other ones, they
it's a question of the review process. There was no fraud, there was no criminal conduct. It's a question of not having the contracts having entered into by going out to open tender. But value has been received for these.
Only that you are following for money today. I wanted to say the person must be careful, he mustn't ignite fire whatever he wants to say, because it's so firm in what he says. He nevertheless is fine.
Gagas? No, I was just saying, I hear you crashing for flight. I'll suggest that because people might still need to talk to him. This is important now. If he's going to leave crashing for flight, if it's 6 o'clock, I'm sure they can put him in the 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. This is what you usually do. We like to talk to him. Now it's like he's running away and want to catch him. Parliament travel, I'm sure, can assist, or if he has an agency, you can phone them, they'll reach the you can consider that?
Yes, I'll say.
Members and guests, tea is at the back. We're not going to pay for tea, so you can serve yourself as you move. The floor is yours, sir. You were making statement there. I'm not sure about that.
Yes. Yes, I'm there.
No, Chair, because you see the other issue, Chair. I think the question raised by sir about the office, I think the intention sounds good, that you need to go on top of your game as a board. But the experience is, trouble at the SAP started when the chairperson had the office in SAP. Because it would seem that if you've got a chairperson as an office as a non-executive, you don't run away from the temptation of interfering with day-to-day work, which ordinarily you should not be there as a non-executive. You should be somewhere else and then later check their work with their team. That's why you have the full time and the none, the separation for oversight and the actual work doing. But I'm saying the intention might be good, but probably the way to go about might be a very difficult way to do from experience in other institutions. So I would think if it's an issue that if it probably you reconsider it on how best can you achieve the same objective which you want to achieve without establishing an office for a non-executive. Those are the issues, but that would be IP from here that probably you reconsider and get another way of achieving the same without a full-time office. But once you've got a full-time office as a non-executive, that's the source of conflict and problem. Because you can't go to that office and pretend that you are not there. The CEO will be passing, hey, come here. What about that? And you see, that's no longer a board meeting. It's you and the CEO. And you start working as a collective, as a board. But because of the office being there and so on, things start to be blurred. Probably when you meet as a board, you'll find that the other board members are raising allegations. And when they ask the CEO, CEO say, no, the chairperson said I must do it. But it was because of the proximity of your food terminal. But I'm just raising it because it has been the source of problem and instability in other companies. If you can, just reconsider how best you achieve the same results without office, fully fledged office there. Probably the company secretary's office, because that's what said it's about. The link between the executive and the board is the company secretary's office. That's what it was meant for. And most of the time, the company secretary works close to the chairperson in terms of calling the board meetings and so on. So you don't need another machine to be there again on top of those particular things and so on. But I'm just talking off cuff. I don't know what are the details on the issues. I'm just from what we normally see as a sort of problem from companies and so on. The money is from when the chairperson or full term is there. The sort of problem most of the time become that as well. But just broad as that. Probably you have yourself and the board, you've got strong reason why you want to do that. But probably reconsider with your board whether it's the way to go and so on. And you can probably refer back to us later and say, how did you reconsider the matter? How do you take the matter forward? But, Chair, you can...
No, it is.
The other issue, CEO?
Thank you, Chair. First, with the general DCT, where is coverage for different phases? during our quarterly report, we showed the different areas of coverage for the different phases of our rollout. In particular, this is population coverage. When you talk about 60%, you talk about 60% population coverage. I must say, first of all, that there's a legacy issue here from 2006. I started with this, the work of converting its network from analog to digital in 2006. And what happened is that we started putting transmitters at the different sites. And the rest of the items that I showed there, the transmitters, the combiners, the antennas, and so on and so forth. So for all intents and purposes, where we are going to launch right now is our places that were determined some time ago. Having said that, the map that we showed in the quarterly report is a map that shows the coverage areas for the specific coverage area for DTT in and around April. In the next financial year. We know that, yes, almost the entire Gauteng is covered, will be covered next year. Fairly good part of Free State will be covered, the western part of Free State. Northwest, the eastern part of Northwest will be covered. Around Mpumalanga, and then quite a lot of coverage in Limpopo. The places that are less covered is KZN and KwaZulu-Natal, particularly given the population in the province there. Eastern Cape, Western Cape, particularly outside of Cape Town. There's quite a lot of density around Cape Town. And certainly Northern Cape. Northern Cape, there's a little bit of coverage around Kimberley, but there's not much afterwards. But I mean, I suppose the only comfort that one can get out of this is that every province will be covered. But I mean, one probably could have done a slightly better with in terms of the using different types of metrics for coverage, metrics that are more representative. So you know, coverage, you say population coverage per the number of population there. So you say, I'll make sure that I cover 10% of the population in each province.
as a metric, then there is a little bit more. In that case, for example, if you did that, then you will probably have more geographic coverage in Northern Cape if you set up that type of metric earlier. With respect to what we can do for the rollout, starting say with the beginning of the performance period that can start any time between now and April next year, what we propose is that number one, all the citizen activity, all the activities that are around people preparing themselves for the launch in April, we really have to be informed by where the signal coverage is. So if we have to go and start preparing people for making the set-top boxes available next year, April, the set-top boxes will have to be available in those areas. If we have to go and do education will probably have to start there. If we have to go and look at assist people with the kind of antennas that they should put there, understanding that a lot of there will be a lot of people with, you know, areas that are very old. I mean, there will be people with the wire umbrella areas that have to get proper areas. All of those kind of interventions will have to be done here. So we have submitted this. In fact, the minister asked us at the bilateral that we had some time ago that we provide this to the officials of the department for them to use in their rollout program, the big project plan. And we have submitted this information to the department. The second thing is also the technical skills around the coverage aspect, the engineering side of the DTT project lie within Temtech Lighting. So what we've done is we've made a lot of input to the SADIBA, South African Digital Broadcast Association, on the actual lower level analysis of the field strength of the transmission network, so that we can design and say, in this part of town or in this part of the country, this is the antenna that will work. This antenna's portable TVs with the bunny ears can work, or moving in this part of town, you now need to start having outside antennas and so on and so forth. We actually did the design work on behalf of SADIBA, and the result of that work is actually available. We have never had a chance to present it, and certainly available to the officials at the department. We provided the resources for that design. But we understand that there's a lot of work that tends to be done, and we've looked at the project plan for rollout and aware of what we can assist with further. With respect to DVB-T2, we are working on the December 2013 deadline. We have no choice but to make sure that we deliver to it, whatever is required. We have ordered the units for the transmitters to upgrade them from DVB-T to DVB-T2. Those units will probably be delivered in and around middle of November, and will start being installed at the transmitter site, from certainly December, January, in line with that. The other elements that are required for full functionality DVB-T2, I think the key issue there is We are aware of whatever we do, we have to do it right. The board has taken a view that nothing will go wrong on supply chain. We are talking about large amounts of public money being spent here, and we need to make sure that everything is clean. So we've spent a lot of time in cleaning up the governance structure on supply chain. To the extent that, we are releasing a tender for the rest of the transmitters this weekend. And that is a completely new template that we've developed. That is as thorough as one can be, and we're going to do that with all our tenders. We want to make sure that nothing happens, nothing comes back to us as we do it fast. So we are trying in the context of that. We are going to push for April. If it's not April, it will be soon after or March. But we're not talking about a delay of 6 months, if there is any. It's still within the ballpark. the ballpark to deliver DVB-T2 on those sites. The bulk of the work in terms of technical engineering is really the transmitters to upgrade them, the changing the antenna systems, changing the combiners, and all of that the contracts with suppliers. Those contracts that were done some time ago. In terms of the aging of the network, we are aware that December 2013 is a long time away with respect to the current services. So we know which sites we are going to upgrade them to the live, the analog transmitter service, and to make sure that between now and December 2013 we don't have any disturbances on the analog transmission. So definitely we are not going to let the current network collapse. Digital radio. Digital radio is not in the pipeline as we speak right now from a policy point of view. But there are standards for digital radio, digital audio broadcast, kind of similar to FM. Digital radio mondial, DRM, which will provide digital radio services for the range of shortwave, for shortwave and medium wave range. But we are certainly ready. As we've been with digital audio broadcast, we did participate in its trial sometime about a couple of years ago, and we will be ready to assist with, to implement digital audio when the time comes, when that has been implemented into the, or when it's required from policy. But right now, it's not part of policy. The issue, I think, Chairperson, on the 60% coverage, what it means, that's where the 60% will be. With respect to the audit findings, when did we find out some of these items? Let me just go through the individual items. Most of it were found, were known, but the company was going through changes. At some point in around January, for example, there were only three non-executive directors in the company within the organization. That has since been beefed up. Around December, there was a midterm audit conducted by our external auditors, and they did highlight some of the things. We knew about the fact that the risk committee was not sitting. We knew that we had to appoint a risk officer. On page 4, the policy and procedure document for around performance information, it was picked up in around December. We developed the policy document in response to that, and as you say, we knew that there was the kind of finding coming up. It was really a matter of it being deliberated on at the board level. The link between risk and internal audit, I think there what is being said is more of a structural link. For example, the reason for us being able to find the activities around the low power project is because in November we directed internal audit to the capital project specifically because we felt that there was a little bit of risk there for things that we actually ended up finding. But I think what the external auditors are saying here is that there is no that link is not institutionalized within processes. So we knew about that, but now what we've done is really to institutionalize it at the board level. So a lot of the things we knew. The CFO, we knew we didn't have a CFO, and that was an appointment that is made at a level allowing the minister to come through, but we did have people assisting us with finance functions at an executive level. I think that generally the question is whether we volunteer information. Yes, we did volunteer information. We volunteered the information around the fraud that we found in the low power project to the external auditor. We did not. We specifically had the internal auditor talk to the forensic team and external auditors without interference from ourselves. We made all the files available. The list of the items there that are under irregular expenditure, we volunteered all of them. And we had our external auditors sitting with our accounts payable people directly and looking at each and every item of expenditure and looking at the contract and to verify whether we are compliant or not. I mean, as I said, the issue there was really the issue of compliance, maybe I shouldn't even repeat that. But we certainly volunteered the information to the extent that we knew it. The issue of how much you're paying the risk committee contractor, I mean, I think we can submit that there is something that is signed. It's not a full-time position. It's really putting together it's running. What we've decided is that there will be an enterprise risk management committee within the organization, where each division will appoint a risk champion around the division, risk champion for operations, risk champion for IT, and these people will sit there, and there will be that meeting kind of will be managed by the risk person, and then we'll be using that to monitor the control environment around the risky part of the business. It's not a full-time position. I think what you can give is the hourly rate and so on. I don't have the number right now. And we will certainly forward it. The capacity issues in the organization, I think the first issue is at the executive level. Right now what you're just doing at executive level, we're working harder. We're not saying we are not able to deliver because we don't have capacity. Sometimes things do lapse because of that. But we do put a lot more work around the thing. So on issues of technology, even though we don't have a head of technology, I'm able to run that. On business services, we've decided as a company that we'll be able to we'll pull ourselves. But in terms of when are we filling the executive level positions, most of them will be the key one, which is HR executive, because of the deep HR issues within the organization. That person is joining us on the 15th of November, guaranteed contract signed. And then in terms of managing our interventions, going into the provinces, going to the schools to be able to articulate what we can do. We've put that under a business executive function. We did interviews last week after a very long period. We needed to make sure that we get the right person. And we are going to make an offer by the end of this month. We have identified two people, and we're taking them through psychometrics and the rest of the check on the 18th of October specifically, and we'll be making the appointment. A key one is the corporate services. As I said, there was somebody in the organization that we targeted for that, or that filled the beat, that met the criteria that we set for corporate services. But that person resigned at the end of July, so we're going out into the market to look for somebody. But that's the executive level. I think once you feel that, then it's really going down into the rest of the organization. Very quickly, KZN. I think the first issue is generally is the company decided to reduce its cost, and I think that's fairly, it was not just on that. There were certain running costs, for example, the cost of the satellite. That's a running cost under contract required directly to provide services. There's not much you can do there. You can start cutting down on things like excess capacity. There is our internet bandwidth, for example, was the capacity there was more than required. That was cut down. So there was a process of looking at cost items, operational cost items, to cut them down. And also, the one can say looking at some of the way retention was managed, the way the company was managing the who went to courses, who went to school, who the company sponsored, there was very little structure around that. And to the extent that you're opening ourselves, one, to a very bad human resource environment. And also, potentially, one could say, well, was there element of lack of structure? And who, if you ask who got what at any point in time within the financial year, one could not give you the proper answer. So with respect to one, you know, cutting costs across the board, two, revising the whole way that we manage people within the organization. Instead of maybe saying somebody should go out and get an MSc, what we can do is design a specific course around leadership, around finance, and so on and so forth. At maybe one of these business schools that is targeted for Centec, but that allows somebody to get credit for formal education. So those are the things that we are looking at and saying, how do we use the little resources that we have for the benefit of as many of our staff members as possible, and then for the benefit of the organization. So because of those kind of things...
Why do you have to use the resources you have, but you are contributing to the CETA in terms of skill lift? And I don't hear you talking about how are you using the skill lift or the CETA man to champion the training of your own employees. I'm saying you don't have to use your little you have. You've got money sitting there in the CETA, untapped, unused. So maybe in your response you must also conceptualize it in that manner, because I've noticed that our entities... most of them, they are not saying anything about CETA money where you contribute the levy and so on. When do we get the returns in terms of skill development and so on? Probably we're going there, sorry to interject you, but I'm interested. Because we'll call the skill there, the CETA, which is responsible, to come and tell us which entity within our ambit, utilizing them to what extent. Because we must start to use those resources to train our people.
Thank you, Chair. The what you're talking about here, I mean, you definitely do contribute and you do make use of it. What you're talking about here was the, and thank you very much for that. We're talking about specific money that was used to support people, for example, who wanted to go to university. And some people who are doing postgraduate degrees out of this development program. And what we said was that let's rather look at that in a different way. The rollout plan, who decides where to roll out, largely is the SABC most, because the biggest user of the network is SABC. The SABC decides and says this is where we would like you to provide us with coverage as we speak right now. For DTT, it's because the same network is used by different other people, ETV and MNET, then it's we bring the requirements of other people into the mix, but the public service mandate requirements are carried by the SABC.
With respect to, I remember on the training, we certainly right now what the system that was there was the one that was.
Or you can proceed. Probably the members, they want to tell you that in our mind, we think about removing that function from SAPC to locate it to Sandy. So that is not SAPC to determine universal service access, but Centec lead that project. So, but you can respond to their question.
We have thought a lot about that. In our quarterly report, we presented, for example, the coverage of radio, public service radio. We showed that it's still really along the lines, the old lines. We noted that it's something that we are not comfortable with. I think as a company, would like to be part of the solution. We have since gone and actually started designing the new frequency coverage plans for extending, for example, Ukhozi into Eastern Cape, where it is not right now, Ukhozi into Free State, Ukhozi into Northwest, and taking Tobela into Eastern Cape, taking Tobela into KZN and so on and so forth, and Lesedi and Motswedi. We've started doing that. I mean, we've actually done the first part of that exercise, as we promised. So we believe, yes, that we do have the skills, but also we have put it as part of our mandate to be active in looking at the possibilities for more universal coverage in the true sense of the word for not only broadcasting services but also communication services. I think our interactions with SABC, we're a little bit ahead in terms of the work that we're doing. We do try to work with them and give them a sense of the possibilities that could be there. I think we'll
like the way you put it. You think you are ahead. You are ahead. They are far behind. Miles behind. Just put it as is. That you are far ahead in terms of planning. SAPC is somewhere maybe 150 kilometers apart in terms of that continuity. Oh, but I like your sense of humor and the way you raise it and massage issues. It's fine.
We would welcome that discussion, and we think that we'll be able to add a lot of value in the fulfillment of the general public service mandate. The auditor didn't audit the World Cup issues. I mean, it was the same as last year. I think we... Oh!
Experience? What kinds of experience are you to? Because training is a big thing, especially in this type of specialized field. And are you having a bursary scheme of how many students are you taking, how much is it cost? So in-house training and outside training.
Honourable Member. We do extensive in-house training. Most of our people are in the operations division. They are the people who manage the transmitters out out there. And there's a full system of how they grow within the organization. They do tests, they get training, and then their typical promotion is based on them passing certain competency tests. That is within operations. And then there's another program that where Centec typically people apply for bursaries, staff members, to go out and get formal training at tertiary institutions. And that's a program that was probably not particularly aligned directly with that did not optimize the requirements of individuals and the requirements of the company and the requirements of the mandate. So somebody would go probably get an MBA and soon after leave the company. In the meantime, when they're doing the MBA, they're talking about, you know, their learning strategy, and they're dealing with companies in the U.S. They're not dealing with issues that we have at hand. So a lot of companies, what they do is, yes, you create a balance by going to, say, an MBA school and creating a specific program around leadership, around finance, and so on and so forth, and strategy, where when you finish, one, you are able to add very immediately, in fact, as you're getting the training, but you also get credit for the formal MBA course. So when you decide to go in and do an MBA, you then have to start afresh. And every other institution can recognize the credit that you have. So those are the kind of things that we kind of thinking about. I must say that the from a governance structure, what we do, we work through the HRA committee of the board, and that's the core committee that guides us in how we restructure ourselves and how we make sure that the training is as effective as possible for the organization. That also provides oversight to make sure that the whatever training we provide is not abused and so on and so forth, because there are potential for abuse. But also the HR committee, this is part of the agenda of the HR committee of the board, and part of the program for overhauling the HR environment within the organization. We do put a lot of effort in training. What we do is very specialized. It's very unlikely that we can get people from somewhere trained by another entity and come and work in Centec. I mean, Centec has to train its own people ground. What typically happens is that the people that we train can leave us and go somewhere else. We almost never get people from outside to... there's very few entities out there that are doing the signal distribution that we were doing.
In the future, if we can get numbers from that as to how many nationally in which we pressing on this issue, because now and then we get people that we don't have engineers, the right technician, which if we don't have, I mean, all this universal coverage won't be, because people must be there with the necessary skills to do the facilitation of infrastructural development. So in the future, if we can, you know, at times people say, we're trying to think that they are taking 3 people next month. So in the future, if we can just have numbers as to, you know, this is what we do say, and these are the fields. If it is MBA only, then it means it's only management that gets opportunity. So we really want to see that the fields that are needed by the country, that effort from our own people to skill people in those fields. So in the future, we can get numbers. And the actual money is spending on that. Because Chair has said, you get a rebate after doing all this. So,
well, the other comment was on page 59 about the board members. I think next time we'll do this slightly back. We should put lines around. Just for clarity there, what she shows is, for example, Mr. Patel was former chairperson, appointed on 1st of April 2010, and resigned on the 9th of November 2010. Mr. Leo was appointed much, much earlier, but resigned on the 31st of May. I think it's very difficult to read. And then the replenishment, the non-executive director that are with us, the company. No, we are talking about the direct, non-directors, the board members, or executives.
Those are the board members appointed by the minister. Oh, okay.
Somebody has resigned. So the process can actually just process themselves.
Okay. Can you put nicely in the diagram? That's in column,
yes.
Da, 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 and so on. Because I was just trying also to check. We are also interested to know who are least attending the meeting for the board.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's there, but if you just put it nicely so that you follow it to everything for the board so that we know them, if there are others who are casualing
people. Okay. Thank you very much. The issue of the communication between head office and the region, there are roots to that problem. It was there. We have tried to change it. And in the internal auditors in the status of the control environment in the company, as they presented to the board, in fact, their revised document acknowledged that this issue has. It's not much of an issue as it used to be. With respect to the corporate plan, immediately its development was very broad, meaning in terms of participation. The regional managers were involved in the development of the corporate plan. After we came back from the committee on the 25th of March, in the first week of April, I started a roadshow where I met each and every member of staff and presented the corporate plan to them, and then we discussed its content and the expectations of the organization on them with respect to the corporate plan. I think that was the first time that a corporate plan had ever been presented to the staff members outside of the EXCO and a small group of management. So the corporate plan was presented to each and every member of staff. I think it's a change program. One can say this is an expectation, you have everything, but I mean, there's a change program, I think, to allow people to take charge of the environment. We have delegated a lot of authority to our regional managers. Previously, it is true that they could not even sign anything, I think, beyond 2,000. We have now given them a delegation to sign 50,000, the transmission control managers. And again, we have supported that with some controls there. So things are changing, and I think it just takes time for people to trust, number one, and also realize that they have the authority, and then make use of that authority. But I mean, we've already admitted that the HR turnaround is a very, very strategic part of our turnaround program.
As well as it possible for Centec to repair this aircon.
Not now,
thank you. Not now, very late.
Thank you. There was a question asked around the percentage increase in salaries, whether it was performance-based. In this financial year, it was not. In the past financial year just passed, there was another one that we did for this financial year. It is still not performance-based. However, we have agreed with CWU on behalf of the bargaining unit members that the next round will be performance-based across the board. We have a program that we term HR intervention. HR intervention, essentially, one of my first things that I arrived when I talked about a performance-based system was reluctance from labor, from leadership, to say that a performance management system, for example, is often abused, and so on and so forth. One of the first things that we are doing, one of the things that we'll be doing in the next quarter, is what we call an HR intervention.
And the starting point for that is reprofiling each and every member of our staff. We do understand, Nokia, that there are people who have been doing the same thing for many, many years. Every year, same thing, no development. And therefore, if you're not developing in terms of what is expected of you from the company, the only time that you can really develop financially is when there is an increase, and that increase is not based on anything. That has been the tradition. So, in order for us to be able to create development programs for people and so on and so forth, they will say that the starting point is a reprofiling. Reprofiling each and every member of staff outside of their influence of managers, and that is going to be done by external professionals from outside. And we should be getting those professionals fairly soon if that program is a bit delayed. But I think that's the starting point of a fully performance managed entity.
Yes, we've got 10 minutes left to finish.
Yes, in regard to the performance, I do understand. But something percentage in this recession, how do you manage that? What do you think about?
I think this was for non-bargaining unit members specifically. And I think there was a view that there was a number of disparities between management and the rest of the staff members. And the 12.7% was given to the bargaining unit members. And the managers, the rest of the non-bargaining unit members got, I think it was around 8% increase during that financial year.
12.7%, why Aguma? The managers have got 5% or 8% around. But the mass, those who go up there and do all the dirty work, that's where the cell phone.
That's where the job
is.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Politically, understand mass. All part in the unit. You must tell them. It's a mass.
I think the rest of the control environment, skill retention is part of, a question that came about the skill retention. We are looking at the entire chain. In particular, we're saying that when typically people, the profile of Centec not too long ago was that about 60% of the staff members have been with the organization for about 20 years or more. That means that there's a lot of knowledge that is sitting with quite a lot of people who are getting closer and closer to retirement. So we've taken a view that we have to be able to retain relationships with people as they move out of Centec and get into retirement. And as we fix the succession planning problem that is implied by the fact that 60% of the people have been there for 20 years or more.
Just don't do what others do. You allow them to go, then you let them come back as consultants and at 5 times amount of what you should have kept them and paid them anyway. So it's fine, the strategy, but don't fall into the next level where then they come back as consultants and they earn 5 times more. Yes, others already are in that trap, they are doing it. We're still looking to that. So don't fall into that. We don't want to add you on the list.
Thank you. The controls around sick leave and overtime, we do report to the, this part of the normal report to the HR committee of the board. There's a lot more work that needs to be done around the controls, but at least the data goes to the HR committee on every time it meets. The Northern Cape, we have about 15 transmission control centers. The one in the Northern Cape is in Upington. It is a fairly small control center, the transmission control center unit. The control centers are based on the number central of transmitters that they within a geographic area. So there are fewer transmitters right now in the Northern Cape for two reasons. One is the number of services there, but also the geography. If I put one transmitter in a fairly flat area, I cover quite a big distance, even though it's low frequency and so on. but also, I mean, even in the number of radio services in particular will be less there. We do understand that TV services, there are not as many TV services as there should be. So it's both saying that there's few services also because of a problem, but also because the scope there for broadcasting is also quite small. But it's we are managing fairly well with the Upington site. It is also supported by another site, Northern Cape site in Fredenda, and then one in Freiburg, and then the Bloemfontein Transmission Control Center. With regard to DTH and BTV, there were losses. We had hoped to increase revenue just slightly, but actually profitability just slightly. Actually, what happened is that we incurred a loss, primarily because if you are an entity, for example, such as Mr. Price, every time you open a store, you want that store to have this network, for example, to have the TV and have the decoder and that. And we could not fulfill those requirements because we did not have decoders. And some of the people who are using this service started cutting their service. And certainly we couldn't go. I must say that this problem has since been fixed in a sense that we've managed it in a proper way without affecting the whatever issues that we have with UEC. So people are now... We moving on in the second quarter in particular, there will be the codes that are available for people to make use of the service. The improvement in debt, that is really the a focus that was a specific focus from the board to the turnaround committee and also to the management team that was there to simply look at the debt list and then simply go and collect the money, make calls to people who owe us. And in the case that people don't pay, then you do what the normal thing, you cut the service. And then you see that when you start cutting the service, people start paying you. And then you move on. So it was just doing the normal thing of collecting the money owed to you and reporting on that on a regular basis. The new site, the target in for low power was 9. I think that was the beginning of the program. The target for this year, the number of low-power sites for this year is 100 between ourselves and SABC. We are sitting at about 50 or so that have been lit. We've been having some problems with access to facilities because these sites normally are not the sites that are on the high power, on the elevators. We can use the facilities, the towers, mobile operator towers. To put the radios there. And we have been kind of struggling with getting access to the facilities, but we've escalated it to the highest bodies within the operators, written to the CEOs of the different operators, and there's a lot of response now on to help us be able to access those facilities to finish this rollout. Okay. The 100 sites, and then 100 the next year, and then 100 the last year. In this MTF period, it's about 300 sites. Currently, it's the SABC that specifies where the site should be, or where we should go out and roll out this site here. But we kind of also, in the context of what I said earlier, trying to engage SABC more proactively on that. There were about 40 sites with facilities on DTT at the end of the year. But as you said, that's after January. We decided that let's not do anything at the site. Let's wait for the upgrade so that we go once. And when we go once, we can put the antennas, we can put the cables, we can upgrade the electricity, and so on and so forth while we're doing the upgrade. So.
Thank you. up there in the
but look, I'm trying to understand. When you make the presentation, we thought that this will be going to be job creation when these sites are rolled out. He told us that you need to go to India and get those people, they are professionals, just to go up and put whatever they are coming down and so on. What is that? How do you handle it? Because you see, the time we raised that question, we're looking in terms of job creation. And he told us about this India story and so on, that he was going to go and, you know, this boys there in township, they climb and get four posts and come back and without any rope. And now to go to that thing, you need to specialize people and so on. But how did you handle that? Or what was the element of that exactly? I'm just raising it opportunistically because we are talking about these things of the transmitters and so on.
There's no case to recruit. Figures from India, and I think he talks about the very tall for the towers, but South Africans are equally adept at it. Yes, thank you.
We don't have anything against India as part of BRICS, but are there no rigors coming from India who are going to be imported for plumbing and so on?
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Remember, there's this Lipelele, the coal generation power station in Limpopo, which is actually one of the biggest in the world. There was also a strike. I'm just saying this in my picture because they get raised and we try job creation. Because that is, there was a demonstration, local people saying there are 200 boiler makers from India, why are they not trained themselves as boiler makers? So I'm just saying when it is happening here and there, it raises the eyebrows and it must be very popular.
Thank you very much. I think the last issue was around the National Wireless Broadband Initiative. Let me start with what we are doing right now. I think it was the question was asked yesterday to the DOC. The dependency on this effort, the dependency caused by the DOC releasing its consolidated National Broadband Plan, I think was noted. However, what we've done is that we've submitted the plan to the DOC. DOC has submitted to National Treasury. We are in contact with National Treasury and the DOC on the various aspects. National Treasury, we requested the rollover of the original $500 million that was to be used for dinner lady schools and so on, and also that was going to be used for as part of this program. National Treasury then has never said anything wrong about our plans, the plan for the rollout. However, they've said that they won't release the money or approve the rollover until they've seen the consolidated broadband plan from the DOC. And that is the one that I believe the DOC yesterday said that it will be released by end of November. In the meantime, we haven't sat still. The whole broadband rollout, one is to connect schools, and with broadband, once you connect a school, then you connect any community. Looking at the school's connectivity, we have said that we do have VSAT as a solution to connect schools. To extend that, we can put a VSAT terminal here, the school is connected. When broadband comes in, then we can take the same terminal and go and put it somewhere else where broadband is not there. So in that respect, much earlier in the financial year, we wrote to all the premiers asking for audience in order for us to be able to communicate the plan that was approved here in the committee. And some of the results are, for example, Free State. We have about 2 weeks ago, I believe, we agreed that we should start rolling out VSAT at the schools. They've given us about 33 schools initially, so that project is undergoing. KZN, even though we are going with the national broadband later, they said they want to connect schools now. So they are talking about connecting about 88 schools. Free State is the, what, at this level, the, we deal with the provincial department. So Free State, for example, is the provincial department of education. And KZN is the provincial department of education together with the economic development. We have been to Eastern Cape. We met with officials, and there is interest there. But we at this stage, we can only move at the speed of the province. The Free State, for example, we're dealing directly with the head of department, who's the driver behind connectivity, similar in KZN. We have been to Western Cape. Western Cape, for example, responded, and there's a list of schools that have clinics and medical centers that have been provided, and that we're working on. So we are not sitting. We're not waiting for the Consolidated National Broadband Plan to connect schools, which is our primary mandate. So, I mean, the idea is that even if when you say the end of the financial year, is one is a rollout of the network, but we have set ourselves outcome-based targets, which is how many schools are connected. And that's where we're going.
CEO, that 5 million has been rolled down, so now it's the difference 350 degrees, now it's a pond. If it started like a rectangle, the way it has been rolled, even before you arrive, and now it's just a bond. It has been rolled too much from one financial year and so on. But the issue is that, are you part of the development of the plan of DOC? Because you see, yesterday, I'm sorry, unfortunately, maybe you're not there. If DOC, they don't seem to have a sense of what they're talking about. And I told them yesterday that it must be here today, because I'm going to raise this question. But are you part of that development of that consolidated plan? Because you see, for us, the issue of rollout of those things is key. Because I don't know how many lives of young people have been unfairly dealt with because of this rollover that 5 million for over. So now it's 4 years or something like that, it's been rollover. So, and if you look at the social loss in terms of that. Maybe financial is fine with the money, but the social loss to the society in terms of those schools to be connected, to be able to do their homework, to do their research projects and so on. No one seems to be measuring that. We're only looking just at the rolling of the money and so on. But there is also the social aspect of the society which they are losing. In terms, especially those kids. You know, if it's more than 4 years, it means the one who was entering secondary. Now we're about to book to finish grade 12 without the access to this thing. So that's why I'm asking, are you involved in that plan? Because that November is fine, we've taken it because we're given, but from where I am, I'm not sure. Maybe, are you part of that project plan and so on?
Thank you, Chairman. We respond whenever DOC asks us. But the planning is located within the DOC. It's driven by the DOC. So we're not driving, if I may. We were specifically told in writing that the Consolidated National Broadband Plan is the plan that is defined by the DOC itself. And we as we said, we can only do, the only thing we can do is respond to if we're asked to. So the design. We started the process with the department in November of last year as we're developing our corporate plan. We had a session, I think it was the 23rd of November last year, the 29th of November, where we aligned, where we proposed what we're going to do in alignment with the DOC strategic plan. So we took the DOC strategic plan to get the outcomes that I presented yesterday and said this is where we proposed Centec to be. And we developed the corporate plan thereafter, and we before coming here, we presented the product. We submitted the product on the 28th of March, of February. We presented to the department on the 17th of March, and we were here on the 25th of March. All of us, where we presented to Parliament. We have sent letters asking for, you know, the rollover of the 500 million and so on and so forth. We've sent the business plan. We've sent the rollout plan, and. The if I'm sitting here, I mean, on behalf of the world, is there something more we can do? Certainly, we are willing and able to do a lot more to make this thing happen.
Do the plan for them. Because now they are afraid that they can't. Don't you have the capacity to do it? You can present it to them, because clearly there's an issue of capacity here in terms of dealing with those issues. But look, maybe we're just asking you too much. The thing you can do, you are invited. Can you discuss with the minister about this piece of the plan? Because they submitted integrated plan here before the committee, where they said the project will be handled together with SOE. But I don't understand what now is presented to say they are doing their thing just in vice, because our understanding when we went to integrated planning was that all entities which are involved in a project, they should together as a project run this thing so that there is a fast move and so on and deliver and so on. But it would seem that those plans were just submitted before us, no one is following them after that and so on. But the chairperson, can we engage the minister? We will, on our report, reflect the matter and also take it up. But I think you can take your leadership role and engage the minister so that there is a move around this particular. We are not fair to those people, all fairness. I don't know how do we go back and sleep it in ourselves on all these ills which we are doing to those kids, and so we have been just waiting for connectivity and they don't get connectivity. And every day we wake up and go to work and say we are waiting for our people for the betterment and so on, but we are waiting for their backwardness, if there is such a way and so on. But please just take up that matter and try to we'll engage also on our side. Honorable Sir.
Mr. Temple, I think I'm covered with your summary, because if we take the discussion from yesterday and what the CEO is telling us, it is clear that there's no will from the side of the DOC. Centec is already available to us. So I'm covered by your summary.
I'm finished.
Okay.
Sir, in closing.
I don't want to ask about the Mpumalanga school project, because everyone will say because I'm from Mpumalanga. So I was hoping you will remember when I'm saying I finished, then you don't remember.
Okay, sir. Just something reminder, maybe I should just go into a little bit of detail into page 35. The question about the allocation of staff members to the different PCCs, that page 35 of the annual report. I'll deal with Mpumalanga then thereafter. Upington, yes, there is 6 people there. There is a TCC manager and 5 other people. The Gauteng, what happens there within Gauteng is that we have a Johannesburg TCC. Because of the number of sites and the number of services there. I mean, one of the towers that they manage is the Center Tower in Brixton and so on. Now, the other people in you'll see that we have Johannesburg TCC separate to STP. STP, those are the people who manage some of the central facilities, not necessarily for housing. So the satellite facility that distributes broadcasts for SABC to site on behalf of all the transmitters across all provinces. Those are just not members of the, they are located in housing because the facilities are there, but they are not members of the Johannesburg TCC. Similarly, Meyerton, a facility that provides shortwave and medium wave, it's just in Gauteng, and all the people are there, even though the coverage is, goes all the way up to Sudan and so on. Pardon me? Okay, thank you very much. And similarly, we also show head office staff there, which we are all there. With regard to Mpumalanga, what you found was that Mpumalanga initiative was through a third party. It was not a direct relationship between Centec and the provincial government. There was a third party in between. And that third party has essentially not delivered in any way. We had booked a lot of capacity, satellite capacity, until recently for the initiative, but nothing really happened there. The visa terminals are in the schools. Everything is there except for we haven't received the go-ahead to connect the schools. And that's something that has been there for a number of years. And we've been trying. I mean, we send our people to the provincial government. We try to have a direct relationship as we should. As a state-owned enterprise with the provincial government.
Thank you, Mugabati.
Thank you, sir. I had taken the initiative last night and discussed the consolidated national broadband plan with the minister. We expressed our great frustration at the impediments being placed in our way in the achievement of our corporate strategy, for one. We had it approved some time ago, and he offered to schedule a meeting next week, in fact, to deal with this matter with a greater sense of urgency. Thank you. I think that concludes our report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It will be nice after that meeting you inform us what progress have you made. I think everything else must stop. This is a matter of national importance. It should be gotten out once and for all. It can't continue like that. Members, that was the end of the responses. I take that there are no requests for the estimate which we have put forward in terms of the estimate which the Minister will be dealing with of finance. No requests, we are fine. Okay. Members, that is what the report from Centec, questions and responses. I must say, Chairperson, if we seem to be so hard to use because you have made us believe that you can do much better. That is the only reason. Because we have demonstrated the capacity and the willingness of doing better, or best, that's why we will never take anything less coming from you. We can tolerate the rest, we know anyone in your family who got other things, they are fine. But when it comes to you, we want all the best. And we'll always make sure that your life is not easy, where you have not done the best, the best the way you can. So that's why it's a person. But overall, I think we are one of the shining entities. Which is trying to come up and prove your point that you are there to deliver the service. Okay. I know you are a busy man yourself from your private life. You've got other things to do, but we also appreciate that you also offered to stay if possible so that you finish these discussions and so on, and so the respect to the committee to that respect. I hope it's because of your leadership and the board members. And also the executive which makes sense to what it is. CEO, there was an issue in KZN, one man raised an issue that the salaries are still on the vacant page. I'm sorry to attend that matter. We can't afford that in Centec people are still paid, whether we're black or Indian or colored and so on. They should be paid in terms of the work they do, not in terms of the color or creed you are and so on. I think I'm not sure how far you are for that particular matter, but not part of the annual report. You got it during the oversight visit. I'm sorry I raised this, the matter with yourself. We'd love to get a report at one point how far that matter is. And some of these entities, managers, have got a tendency of mooring people physically. You see, managers are supposed to manage, but they just decide some of your managers to physically moor people, especially in Devon. There are your managers who are moving people physically. Then when you ask why you are moving a person, you say you can't listen. But you've got other measures which you must. I don't know when you move a person, that person will ever listen and so on. But those are the issues, the slight issues which they seem to be coming from time to time. So just look holistically on those issues. They are not easy issues because you cannot detect it early at your level and so on. CEO?
Thanks, Chair. The issue of salary is certainly something that we have dealt with in the relationship, in the agreement with Labour in particular. There's a commitment there to fix it, and it's something that will be fixed. It's an urgent matter. On the issue of abuse of our staff members at any level, we do operate a hotline, which is an anonymous hotline, where people can report such issues, including fraud and other things. I must say we haven't received any reports in that regard, but we certainly could we'll follow up. I mean, we wouldn't have studied
it. Don't know who received the call. Maybe the same Mura.
There is Mura again. They must not use the hotline to raise those issues of mooring and so on. But otherwise, thanks very much, members, for your time and so on. I think we'll continue to engage the Centec as much as we can. You didn't respond to my question of population versus geographic. We can just do that in writing. We did. I was sleeping. So we will talk then, because we need to understand which one is best for our people so that we move with that one. I know that it's fine, but it's fine.
Yes, Jefferson, I think there's a very, very contagious disease among the personnel of Centec. They call it dedication and hard work. You must visit some of the other entities and spread your disease so that they can also be dedicated.
Thank you very, very much for efficiency, Mr. Member. I don't want to leave the people talking, but we are done with this meeting. Tomorrow.